98.9 FM News.
Across Australia, this is Marinda Ninyet with the National Indigenous News. Unions say the Turnbull tax will entrench inequality by supporting handouts for people earning up to $200,000 a year. It follows analysis which suggests proposed cuts to the corporate tax rate are also unlikely to create jobs or see wages increase. Ben Davidson from the ACTU says the plan is an attack on working people and will cut into services they rely upon.
Essentially, what the plan will do is massively reduce the tax liability for high-income earners and simply give a little bit to people at the very bottom. Incredibly unfair. We're going to see people paying the same rate of tax whether they earn $40,000 a year or $200,000 a year. Given that the Turnbull government has cut health, has cut education, has cut apprenticeships funding, to then suggest the money that should be going to the services that people are crying out for is going to end up in the hands of the very wealthy and very profitable corporations is simply an insult.
The Victorian federal election of John Batman, who founded Melbourne, is to be renamed Cooper in recognition of First Nations political activist and community leader William Cooper. The renaming of the electoral seat follows a campaign by the local council and the Greens, arguing its original namesake, John Batman, was involved in the massacre of Aboriginal people in Tasmania in the 1920s and 30s. The Australian Electoral Commission unanimously agreed to rename the electorate after Mr. Cooper, who was Secretary of the Australian Aborigines League. Cooper, a Yorta Yorta man, presented a petition to authorities in 1938 calling for a fair deal for Indigenous Australians, including on land rights and representation in Parliament. Once the name change is formalised, 11 of Victoria's 38 electoral divisions will be renamed after an Aboriginal person or word. Federal Indigenous Affairs Minister Nigel Scullion says his government has kept its side of the bargain and now it's up to Queensland to keep theirs. The comment comes as criticism has been raised over the failure of the federal government to commit to Queensland remote housing. It follows a meeting with Queensland mayors who went to Canberra in a last-ditch effort to lobby for new money. Scullion says he's optimistic about reaching an agreement with Queensland for remote housing and that they need to come to the table.
You know, Queensland needs to come to the table, and as I said, I'm quite optimistic that they will. We want new money. We want new money for new housing. You know, you don't fix overcrowding by maintenance, overcrowding by some sort of weird depreciation schedule. This is about new money. We don't want the gammon story. We want the real story. And I'm very confident by the end of next week we'll have got to the bottom of it all.
We'll have Sport Up next.
Over the years, I've had my battles with smokes. My lungs got pretty bad. Sometimes I could hardly breathe. I'm not sure why I smoked, I just did. I wanted to be there for my kids, so I quit. I've quit before, I just kept trying. I get to see their smiles every day. Mum and the aunties are pretty happy too. They didn't want me to die from smokes like Dad did. My name is Ted, and family is my story. Don't make smokes your story. For help, download the MyQuit Buddy app, call the Quit line or visit Quit now.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Program sponsor.
To sport now with the ABC's Chris Classic.
Ivan Cleary's getting the old band back together at the West Tigers with the news that the former captain Robbie Farah will return to the club. Farah, who played 247 first grade games for the West Tigers and was part of the 2005 premiership winning side, has signed a new contract until the end of this season. The 34-year-old has reunited with the Tigers after falling out with the previous coach, Jason Taylor, 18 months ago and joining South Sydney. He'll begin training with the West Tigers this week after being released by the Rabbitohs. And Cleary says it's a huge boost for the team.
You know, he's confident that he obviously still has what it takes, and it's pretty obvious watching that he still has. And as I said, I think it's really important that he's motivated to come back and help our team still play well. And I think it's a really nice fit and just a bonus, really, that a life member and, you know, such a big part of the history of the West Tigers.
And to stay up to date with Nurse News, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook or visit our website, news.nirs.org.au. And that's the latest National Indigenous News.
Welcome to Let's Talk. brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. I also would like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders on more recent arrival. Thank you for tuning in and joining us this morning. It's another cold one this morning, I can tell you that. But, you know, I'm speaking with some mob from down in Victoria, and I'm sure they'll know what cold weather is compared to us fellas up here in the Sunshine State. I'm sure they'll let us know that there. But on the program with me this morning, I'm going to be talking to a few different black fellas from Victoria. Over the past week, Aboriginal people and some of the and supporters have set up a camp to protect and also to protest the removal of some sacred trees down there on the Western Highway in Victoria. So I'll be yarning with Darnene and Jida, and hopefully get Mariki on the phone as well. Some of the mob down there have set up the Jabberong Embassy to save one of these sacred trees. And I hopefully I pronounced that right. And I'm just going to bring my guest in at the moment. Hey, Darnene, sis, could you, just before we start, tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Yeah, my name's Darnene, I'm Australian, and my mob are Yiga, Gunjimara, Bindle, Torres Islander, and Jabberong.
Also, yeah, it's Jabberong. Did I pronounce that right or before?
Oh, yeah, it's like a Jap.
Yeah. Yep, okay, cool, sweet. Yeah, so I wanted to get you on this morning and some of the other mob down there to sort of update us mob up this way of what's sort of going on down that way on Jabberong country with these trees.
Yeah, so at the moment, they've been planning to build highway for a while, and then on Monday they were planning to start work, and that means that they were going to start to destroy the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, like one Jabberong group, one family gave consent in 2012 that the trees in that area had no cultural significance to us.
Hmm.
And that was only one family. So,
mm-hmm.
And then what happened was they were registered as an Aboriginal party, as a registered Aboriginal party. And then because their membership wasn't open, whoever the people are that said, oh, well, you can't actually act on behalf of Jabberong people because you aren't representative. And so they did a consultation in 2012, and pretty much it's null and void, and the Victoria Roads, to look after the roads here in Victoria, are using the 2012 consent and consultation still now here in 2018 as an okay to go ahead and build the road.
Yeah. And so for the past almost week now, a mob have been set up down there?
Yeah, so since Sunday.
Since Sunday, yep.
People have been down there. We went down there on Monday. Mariki and I, my mum and my nan, and we're at one tree and then we're heading to another tree. And on the way we saw all these bulldozers and trucks, and so we just caught them going to start work somewhere else.
Hmm.
And then we put off work for 2 days. So at the moment, yeah.
How many trees, and also if you could let us know the significance of these trees as well.
Yeah, so there is, in the area, there's 769 archaeological sites, which is quite a lot, and like a 5 kilometre area. And, you know, 33% of those are scar trees. So it's not just... So we've got two trees there that are 800 and around 1,000 years old. but there's so many other culturally significant trees there as well. So, yeah, it's really sad that we have to do this. We have to protest. So, yeah, it's really sad that, you know, it's been said that these trees might be birthing trees, and to know that these trees birthed about, you know, 50-plus generations of Jackalong people. It's heartbreaking.
It definitely is when, like people think, other people think, less of the, like people just think they're trees and there's no significance to them. But like you said, there's, almost 50 generations of Jackalong people that have, been birthed here, at these trees. And in one of the videos is like this really big, massive tree. And I'm guessing that's one of the trees. How old is it? How old are they?
So one of them, I think, is 800 years old and 1,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, it's heartbreaking to know that, genocide has happened it's been happening since invasion. It just continues to happen, and it's just in time for the Cook of Pearl We Can, and like Madoff Week is coming up soon, and Eurydice Dixon, who tragically, got murdered, and just all of these violent acts on Aboriginal women's bodies or women's bodies. It's just like, what's really going to change? And I think that we really need to start thinking about the land and our bodies and how we're so connected to them, because the violence that continues to happen to our land is so interconnected with our bodies.
Yeah, definitely. I remember an auntie, I think it was auntie Mary Graham, she talks about the relationship that the relationship we have with the land and ourselves is the same, is like interconnected, and then once once one of those relationships are broken, then it's obstructively linked, that it breaks down the relationship with people, with land and stuff, and out there as well. So how many people are camped down that way?
So we've got people going down there, and it's probably like about 20 or 30 people.
Must be cold too.
It's like 1 degree down there, right?
Yeah, we're all up here complaining that it's cold and it's winter in Queensland. Like it did get to 7, down to 7 the other day, and like we're all freezing. But then
that's pretty cold.
Yeah, it is to us. I don't know if it's cold, to you fellas down, especially the mob camping.
I feel like it's cold.
Yeah.
But it probably is going to get down to minus as well.
Yeah.
Down there, because it's such a cold area, and I'm that wild, eh? Aboriginal Victoria signed off on it, so Aboriginal Affairs. So I guess what we're doing as well is Aboriginal Affairs are in a treaty process, Aboriginal Victoria, the government, and we're in a treaty process at the moment, and we just want people to go online to the Aboriginal Victoria's Deadly Question campaign. So it's around asking Aboriginal people about certain questions, but we want to flood their questions with why they're desecrating Jackalong, sacred site.
What's that website? And is it all right for people outside of Victoria to sort of go on there and just ask why they're, why they're destroying Jackalong country?
Yeah, 100%. I'd love that if people could go on there and just provide as many questions as you can about why they're destructing.
And what's that website?
The website is deadlyquestions.vic.gov.au.
Yeah, and ask a deadly question.
Yeah, and ask a deadly question.
So is this sort of where the fight is going to now, taking it to Victorian Aboriginal Affairs, and also where else as well?
So we've had people protesting at Vic Road. Offices in Vic Road as well. We've been doing a few things. We've we put an injunction in, which hasn't been accepted yet from Joshua Frydenberg. But yeah, Vic Roads have said that they're going to stop work. They're not going to do work on the trees for 6 weeks, but knowing that there is already, you know, sites doing lots of scar trees. We're trying to save as many as possible, you know, like harm minimisation and...
So there's already been that those conversations with Vic Roads. They've come down to the camp or...?
No, they sent us a letter saying that they would not work on the trees for 6 weeks. But there's, like, so many other sacred sites.
So how much of that area, like, are they going to put in as a highway?
Like, it's going to be a huge area. So there's woodland on the side of the road. And so where the road will go, it'll take out that whole woodland.
And how long so last Sunday, or this Sunday that just went, that's when they set up the camp. How long before that there did they know that there was these significant trees? Like, did mob always, like, I guess mob always knew, but over, you know, I guess the recent times, has this always been somewhere where mob have known that these trees were still here?
There's been a few people that have known about, and there's been a few people that have actually, we've been trying to work on trying to save them. But I think that, you know, like on Sunday, we were just like, you know, Mariki and Lydia and that, and me and my mum and my dad, we all just like went down there. And then, yeah, we were just like, no, we need to save these trees because it wasn't getting the media attention that should have. Before. And so, yeah, we just went down there and we've just been trying to use as many connections as we can just to try and, you know, bring this issue up. Like, if we're going into a treaty as well, like, with the Victorian government, which is, you know, getting passed in the upper house today. Like, are we really going to, if they can't even respect our trees, then what are we doing going to a treaty with them, you know?
Definitely, and especially, you know, like scarred trees and if it's a birthing tree as well, you know, like, you know, not just violating, you know, you know, what they've continued to do to our people, but also, you know, the land, really significant places, you know, you know, like these trees, scar trees and birthing trees. So Lydia, for our listeners, Lydia Thorpe is the first Aboriginal person in the Victorian Parliament. Has there been any other politicians that sort of spoken about, what's been going on?
No. So Lydia, she's going to be asking questions today to the government, so Labor, to ask what happened with the sign-off of it and why weren't the Aboriginal organisation, Martang, who signed off on consent, why is that still... Why is their consultation ended? And that's still valid when it should be null and void. So, yeah, going to be asking questions about that today.
Yeah, deadly, deadly. And how are the mob going down there today or over the last few days?
I've had the mob down there. They've had lots of visitors and lots of mob been going down there, lots of young people as well, young black fellas. Which is really deadly, and they've been helping out and people have been bringing water and food, and, you know, it's so deadly to see. Also, like, lots of the queer community really coming out for us as well, which has been really nice.
Yeah, deadly.
It's so good that we feel like a lot of queer mob coming out for us.
And is there any towns or anything that's close to this, like any communities?
So the closest town's Ararat, and it's at the bottom of the Grampian, the Gari word, which is what we call Bundle's nesting place too. Right. So that whole area is really culturally significant.
And just for our listeners, if you're just tuning in, my guest on the program this morning is Tarnine Onus, Tarnine William Onus, proud Japurong woman. We're having a yarn about the significance of these trees down on their country. Mob and also supporters, Aboriginal people and supporters, have been set up there since Sunday, protecting and also protesting the removal of these sacred trees down on our country. Throughout our yarn, Darnine's been saying how significant these trees are, but not just these certain trees. She notified us that this is a very significant place. There's multiple trees, but then also, the part of the land has has very significance to the local mob. And one of the things that caught me as well, like you're saying, if these are birthing trees and they have given birth to 50 generations of Japurong people, and how can people up here or people that sort of not in Victoria support what's going on down there on the ground?
So I guess what'd be good to do is like share articles that have been out, share the content and the updates. You can join the Western Highway Alternative Mindset Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
There's that group where you can support. But yeah, I think just like sharing it throughout the socials, hopefully we'll get a fund set up so that we can actually, get people to donate funds for food and stuff for the campers and tents and, all those sorts of things.
Deadly. Mm-hmm. And you said that website as well, Victorian Aboriginal Affairs. What's that one again?
Yep. And so if you can go on and ask a deadly question. So Aboriginal Victoria, the website's deadlyquestions.vic.gov.au. Just if you ask them why they're participating in the destruction of Japurong women's sacred sites.
Yeah, no, deadly. Thanks for that, sis. I know you've got a busy morning down that way, and I'm not sure I'll be keeping you from work. I'll let you get back to work, and I'm going to give Jida and hopefully Mariki a call as well to have a yarn about, get their perspective on what's going on down there. A big thanks for joining us on the program this morning, sis, and would love to have you back on really, really soon to have a yarn about the deadly stuff that you continue to do down that way as well.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, all good. If you're just listening to Let's Talk, I've been yarning with Tarnine William Onus down in Victoria. Tarnine and her family have been heading down to Japurong country to support the people on the ground to protect these sacred trees. I was going to head to a quick song break. This is Glenn Scuthorpe with No More Whispering.
Christmas, one less loved one on birthdays, but that smile won't be forgotten. Cain, you'll never fade away. And all the joy that you gave us, the twisted jokes and all, we're gonna rise up for you now, and for the rest who have gone. But no more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our arms. We're gonna rise up to make a change, to stop these killing games. So the night was blessed with evil, and the soft rain began to fall. Walking through the park at midnight, coastal town on early morning. The shots ring out in the darkness, blood on the ground where he lay. Bitter tears will fall tomorrow for the rest of our day. No more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our arms. We're gonna rise up to make a change, and stop these killing games. So there's two sides to the story, yeah, one black and one white. One is fueled by the hatred, just to take another's life. So the families are destroyed now, by the hand that held that gun. It's what the white man he swears by, to keep the black man on the run. No more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our arms. We're gonna rise up and break these chains, and stop these killing games. We'll miss him for the game today, when they run for the black and white. Colors of Cadougal, yeah, those mighty magpies. So let's all join the line of honor, raise our glass to Cain, a son of a father, a child of a mother and a friend. Sisters and a brother,
Spirum with Let's Talk.
And welcome back to Let's Talk. That was No More Whispering by Glenn Scuthorpe. Deadly fella he is, my mob, on my mum's side. They grew up out in Cadougal and Brewarrina together. And yeah, got to see Unc earlier, I think it was in February, January, he came up and done a performance. Got to see him and my sister actually perform together. They always perform down in Melbourne. It was really, really deadly. If you're just tuning into the program, this morning on the first half of the program, I was yarning with Tarnine William Onus, a proud Gunatjmara Djaparong woman Some other mob have travelled down to Japurong country to support Aboriginal people and their supporters who have set up a protest camp to protect the removal and destruction of sacred trees down there on Japurong country. So at the moment, I'm going to bring Jida into the program to have a yarn about what's been going on down that way as well. Keep the conversation going and get a different perspective on what's been happening down that way. Hey, how you going, Jada?
Yeah, g'day, Bo. Good to be here.
Yeah, deadly. Thanks, Dad. Just before we start, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Yeah, my name's Jada Clark. I'm a Japurong man from Western Victoria. I also grew up on Framlingham Settlement, which is one of the old missions of Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm currently living in Melbourne, off country,
mm-hmm.
Working at the Human Rights Commission, but also involved in the activism happening down there on the planned upgrade work to the Western Highway.
Yeah, deadly, deadly. Thanks, up, brother. Yeah. So, and Framlingham, isn't that where Uncle Archie Roach?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's where he was taken from, actually. He's our mob. He's my uncle. Actually, when the authorities come out and they took Archie, my great grandmother had hidden Uncle Archie's brother and my dad under the bed, so the authorities couldn't get him and Archie was somewhere else, and they picked him up off the side of the road.
What a story!
He sings about Framlingham in his song.
No, that's why. Yeah. Like when you mention, like, oh yeah, I always see Uncle Archie sing about it in his songs. And like, it's funny that that's a very common history to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Not just in the past, but today. And at the moment, actually, we see this stuff happening in America where, they're deporting kids and young children. They're putting them in, like, kennels and, separating from them from their families and putting them in cages and, getting ready to deport these people, separating them. Yeah.
As we all know, the rate of removal is ever increasing and, our children are still taken away from our families.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The fight is not over to resist this, assimilation and then to resist the willingness to separate our families.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely, definitely. But yeah, we've got you on the program this morning to have a yarn about what's going back down on your country as well. Like Darlene, sort of gave us a bit of a background and idea on where mob was sort of the direction they're going with. She said, she would want people to contact the Victorian Aboriginal Affairs to sort of, challenge them and ask them why they're sort of not really getting involved in this discussion and let them know that people are disgusted. She also mentioned that Vic Rhodes has sort of put a six weeks hold on a temporary stop on what's going on and sort of told us a bit about the area as well and the significance of these trees. But from your perspective, brother, why is it important that there are mob and there are people down there set up to stop destroying of these sites?
Well, look, we're calling out for support. As you would have heard, there was a group of mob that went down to protect those trees upon hearing of the work starting on this upgrade to the highway. Now, there's a few particular trees of significance that we know have been culturally modified by our mob. These trees are over 700, 800 years old. They've got big hollows in them. And this is something for the women to come forward with on determining whether they're birthing trees or not. But even apart from that, there's
there's we've got confirmed evidence that these trees have been culturally modified and used for multiple purposes over the course of history. And, you know, these trees have been around for about 50 generations or more that our people, our ancestors have had a relationship with and included these trees, you know, in the story of the landscape and our song lines that run from that place, which is the Hopkins River Basin. That's a big storyline from that area all the way to the coast, which is about a couple of hours' drive away. You know, the Japurong country was the site of many big gatherings of different tribes from around the area. We've got Japurong mob, we've got Wadawurrung, Jajawurrung, Jawajali. All these mobs would come together at places like Lake Bolac for big gatherings and festivals to feast on the eel. So, you know, the eel's our staple food. We're eel people. And, you know, this is at the very base of where one of our big river systems starts. And for Japurong people too, you know, our moiety is Gugich, that's the white cockatoo, and Gumach, that's the black cockatoo. And the site only less than a kilometre away is the black cockatoo dreaming, the home of the black cockatoo right there. And, you know, these trees sit in that landscape, which, you know, our ancestors still protecting that space and part of the songline of that landscape. You know, you visit these trees and you can immediately sense how special they are. They you know, they're there. We feel like they're doing some of this work themselves. You know, like we're just sort of feeling drawn to these trees to make sure that they're protected to the best of our ability. Now, there's a plan to upgrade works to the Western Highway. It's a couple of kilometres, a few kilometres long, I think 5 kilometres, they're diverting the highway to extend the number of lanes in the road. This has sort of been a planned works by Vic Roads for a number of years now. The permits to conduct the works had lapsed at some point because of the lack of the approval process. I think it could have been lack of the cultural heritage management process approval. But there is a couple of different traditional owner groups involved. So there's a bit of politics behind there, which... it's probably not worth going into, but the fact is that one traditional group, traditional owner group, has come out stating that the process to date has been flawed, and Aboriginal Victoria, they're the government department that manages cultural heritage in the state. They've come out saying that both traditional owner groups had confirmed that there was no cultural significance of the trees, and that's completely false. They come out with a media statement. So there's been a response by that traditional owner group saying, you know, that the actions so far by Aboriginal Victoria are very upsetting and unconscionable, and they're not willing to provide all the relevant documentation to the mob. So that's one of the demands of the protection group as well, that Vic Roads and Aboriginal Victoria provide all relevant cultural heritage documentation and information on alternate routes that the road could take so that our traditional owners can make an informed decision. It's been, you know, it's really come to the crux of it because work started last Monday. The protection group managed to stop work. We managed to put an application in for an emergency declaration of protection to the federal minister. We did get a response from Vic Roads stating that they wouldn't damage the two trees, two particular trees, for the next 6 weeks. But we do know that there's still more trees around there. We've got, you know, in that general area, there's over 750 registered sites. They include, you know, a couple of hundred scarred trees. And, you know, ultimately our demand is that if there's this ultimate route to go ahead, then it needs to be a minimal damage to our sacred site.
Mm, definitely, definitely. And thanks for that there, brother. For our guests that are just tuning in, my guest is Jida Clark, Japurong man, just giving us a really good in-depth update on what's happening with the camp and the site at the moment. So I guess is it like lodging, you know, this as a cultural heritage site? Is that like a possibility that
yeah? So as it stands, these particular trees haven't been registered on the register, mm-hmm. cultural heritage register.
Is that something that you Bob want to do?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. The process to date has been somewhat confused by the actions of Aboriginal Victoria, and you know the protection group, which consists of traditional owners, are looking at bringing a gathering together probably next, not this weekend, but the weekend after, looking to have a sustained presence at the trees until then. And then when that gathering happens, that can be an information sharing activity for TOs and also evidence gathering and consensus making on the status of these trees as well. Mm. You know, there's some of our mob that haven't been out to those sites before. So, you know, people need to get a sense and a feel for those sites. Mm. And we want to bring as many people together to ensure that you know we do the best effort we can to protect them.
Definitely, because yeah, and there's a different range of sort of significant trees within that place, like scarred trees and birthing trees around that way.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had birthing trees. We got trees with toe holes in them. See, we're in they're all big river red gum trees. These trees, they age in the hundreds and hundreds of years. So a lot of that land before bigger drainage systems were put in is quite quite a good wetland, so there's plenty of water around. There's more trees around, even about 500 metres away from the activity site where the road's getting built. There was a site of a burial mortuary tree just nearby. You know, we're somewhat wary of government action and any works around that area because only a few years ago there was only down the road in Moyston there was a tree chopped down that was a burial tree as well. Mm. There was three remains of our ancestors in that tree, and they just cut it down. So you imagine, you know, how distraught that makes people. And, you know, some of these trees get inspected. You know, they put cameras down the hollows and things like that, but, you know, we've got instances where that process hasn't been made up to scratch and trees have been cut down with burials in them.
Mm.
You know, desecration of our sacred sites,
mm.
You know, is one of the ultimate offences. And, you know, we have to make sure that this government mob is doing everything in their power to stop that.
Yes, yes.
And certainly us as a protection group are going to be doing the same.
Yep, deadly.
So the fight's not over yet.
Just the beginning.
We've got a bit of protection over two trees for about 6 weeks, but we're demanding that there's a renewed cultural heritage management plan put in place.
Mm.
And then there's a renewed opportunity for all TOs to get their day and to gather evidence and protect and register these trees.
Mm. And, like, I guess, it, how big, like, what's the number of trees, I guess, would you say that there is that you want to put this protection on?
Well, in the plan, in the planned upgrade of the works, there's about 70 to 100 scarred trees. In terms of big old trees, they estimated about 200. And then Vic Roads come out with a report saying, oh, look, we made a mistake and our first estimate was wrong. There's about 1,100 large old trees along this route that they're planning to.
And most of these trees are like, you know, a few hundred years old as well.
Yeah, those large old big ones, you know, would range from, yeah, a couple of hundred years to up to 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think of how old that is. That's before colonisation. That's, you know, three times the amount of time. These trees have been there protecting country, looking after our people.
Giving life
to our people. And our people having a deep spiritual and social relationship with these trees. You know, who is any person to think they have the right to cut down that tree?
Definitely.
Who's any person that can think they, you know, have any right or any impetus to touch to harm them? You know, they're our ancestors have been around for more generations than further back you can one can remember. And you know, it's upsetting to the highest degree that you know people can even think of doing this.
And also, you know, Tanin brought up the that Victoria, the Victorian government is entering into a treaty discussion, with Cory Mob down that way. But you know, on one instance, like there's the the hope, for a treaty, and then on the other hand, like they're down here destroying, uprooting, a 1,000-year-old tree.
That's the unfortunate conundrum that they put us in. On the one hand, they're trying to make amends and come to the table on a level playing field. On the other, destroying some of their most sacred sites without. What we say is proper consultation and proper proper assessment. It's a double-sided action, and what's the point? Some people saying about entering into negotiations on a treaty when things like this continue to happen. So I guess my hope is that a treaty process could ensure that there is the greatest protection of our cultural heritage sites. It's still yet to be decided what that might look like. It is an opportunity to do something greater than what's already out there. Why wouldn't we be allowed to get that piece of Crown land back off the government, through a treaty process? That would be ideal, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, definitely, brother. Like you've been telling us, the fight that his fellows have been having, the mob on the ground, and the support work the other mob are bringing, I guess, from in and around the Melbourne area. How can we support, I guess, from Queensland, from every other state and territory around the country? What's the best way that we could support?
Yeah, we've had, fortunate to have people that have come down to Vic Roads and made a picket out the front of their offices, calling up their phone lines and blocking the lines. Ultimately, this responsibility does sit on Aboriginal Victoria. Their offices are on Spring Street in Melbourne. If people could call into their office, make a complaint,
What's the number?
I don't have the number. I can send it to you. I'll have to look it up.
Well, what's the name of the place that we can call it?
It's called Aboriginal Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the Department of Premier and Cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And their cultural heritage management team ring up to complain and say that we want these trees saved, that we want to support the protection group in getting a new cultural heritage management plan in place. There's the Minister of Aboriginal Affairs, Natalie Hutchins, it'd also be worth trying to contact. You should be able to get her contact details online.
Mm-hmm.
Call up her office and complain. Say that you're in support of the protection group, the Japwarong Protection Alliance, and you want to see some real meaningful dialogue with the traditional owners on this matter.
Also, like they've put on the 6-week temporary hold, and if you were to put, more protections, register as cultural heritage, how long would that process take? And would that sort of, take a bit too long? And would these mob, because there is that fear of them moving in and stopping camp.
Oh, look, the minister has the power to put in an emergency protection declaration. We do need some time to gather the evidence and put in an application for heritage protection. We might need to consult with archaeologists to work through that process. But time is of the essence. That's why we're going to try and meet next weekend. Eastern Ma Aboriginal Corporation is one of the traditional owner groups. They're also going to have a full group meeting. They're the native title claimant group.
Deadly.
So they can resolve this matter as well. They're the group that have released a statement saying that Aboriginal Victoria needs to redo this new cultural heritage management plan.
Yeah. Okay, then. That's good to know, brother, that the fight is still, like you said, it's just the beginning, and we're still going to be here protecting our country and these trees. I want to say a big thank you to Jaida for joining us on the program this morning. If you just joined us, we've been yarning about these beautiful, sacred old trees down on Japwarong country. The local people down that way, mob, Aboriginal people and supporters have set up a camp. And mob from Melbourne have just been pouring in support going down there. So it'll be great if us follows up in Queensland and other states and territories can get out and support these mob as well. Big thanks for joining us on the program this morning, Jaida.
Yeah, thanks very much for the opportunity, bro.
That's all good. That's all good. And if you're just tuning in, I'm going to say goodbye and thank you for joining us on the program this morning. Take us out. We're going to be listening to Yothu Yindi, World is Turning, here on 98.9 FM.
do you do with leftover fruit or veggies? Do you bin it or save it? Saving it for another meal is easy, plus it saves your money. For some clever leftover ideas, here's Margaret Hayes, Senior Media Spokesperson from Dietitians Association of Australia.
Using leftover veggies is great. You can mix them into an omelette for breakfast. You can make them into a salad for your lunch the next day, you know, just by adding some protein to them. And then you've got a balanced meal straight away. And I find people that use leftovers, it's easy to get your lunch sorted for the next day. Fruit-wise, you can always cut up fruit the night before and you haven't eaten it all, pop it into a smoothie. A lot of people really like stewing fruit, and then they've got like a fruit compote in the fridge that they can have that's delicious with yogurt or custard.
Remember, for good health, aim for 5 serves of vegetables and 2 serves of fruits daily and get active. For more healthy living ideas to help you stay strong, head to healthier.queensland.gov.au.
A message from the Staying Strong Project, funded by the Australian Government Department of Health.